Brothers and sisters, grace to you and peace from God, who is our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ, our Messiah. Amen. Earlier this week, someone asked me if I had chosen the gospel lesson specifically for today. And the answer is no. This is what just showed up. And I think it, though, is appropriate because it got me thinking about many things in terms of my own life and what does it mean to be all in with your place of worship, with your community of faith, and indeed in our faith with our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'll begin by sharing a story. Some years ago, Heidi and I, along with many others from Bethel, participated in the Financial Peace University program that Helen and Rex Ritchie and Sean Garner lead here at Bethel. And Heidi and I did this because, A, we wanted to show support for this very meaningful ministry that I truly believe can help people and families, especially in times like these. And also because we felt that while we were already familiar with some of the principles expressed in the program, we felt there would be something new for us to learn. And indeed, that's true. You see, Financial Peace University seeks to offer individuals and families, and does so, in my judgment, a biblical vision for how to live our financial lives. And the author of the program, a man by the name of Dave Ramsey, he is a creative and funny guy. I enjoyed his stories and I enjoyed his wisdom. Wisdom, ironically, that was discovered mostly through his own financial failures and mistakes. Now, at the heart of the program is a call that everyone learn to live within their means. And the financial problems that we so often fall prey to in our lives, he suggests, is that we have developed a culture of living beyond our means. Now, living beyond our means is, as he suggests, fool's gold. Yet, does our society supports this? Yes. It's even fueled by all of us living beyond our means, our willingness to buy more than we need right now. Debt has become, for many, necessary to simply live average lives. We finance our homes. We finance our cars. We finance the furniture that we use to fill our financed homes. And we finance those wonderful flat-screen TVs that then we can sit in our financed homes and our financed furniture so that we watch and become entertained. I haven't even begun to talk about the ever-growing burden on families to finance higher education. It is becoming very real to me about this. And I've talked with many of our parents in our congregation who just look at me and they say, "Pastor, you have no idea." And they simply shake their head. And if you haven't noticed, our national debt has skyrocketed yet again. Perhaps we are all simply trying to live up with the Joneses, but I think it's simply become trying to keep up, as if living beyond our means simply is. You see, Dave Ramsey is trying to change this, and he has a nice little catchphrase that graduates of the program already know by heart. He sprinkles this phrase throughout each of his presentations, and it is both catchy and profound. He says, and if you've been in the program, say it with me, "Live like no one else so that you can live like no one else." Live like no one else so that you can live like no one else. By this, he means to live counterculturally, to work with gazelle-like intensity to eliminate personal debt, even to the point of denying yourself immediate gratification or buying a less expensive house or a less expensive car or doing without the most expensive keeping up with the Joneses kind of stuff so that you can save more money and ultimately be in a position to give more money away. And that is at the heart of what he seeks. Live like no one else so you can live like no one else, so that you can live a life of generosity. His program, when worked correctly, will do this for you and your family. It is for mine and it has for so many. And I believe that this phrase, live like no one else so that you can live like no one else, is applicable to our lives as Christians, especially as we seek to follow Jesus into a countercultural way of discipleship. Martin Luther said something very similar, to live like no one else so that you can live like no one else, although he did it in his own uniquely religious way. Luther once wrote a treatise called Freedom of a Christian, and his treatise says this, the central piece of it is this, that Christian freedom, Christian liberty, is that we, a Christian, is a perfectly free Lord of all, subject to none. A Christian is a perfectly free Lord of all, subject to none. And the very next verse is, a Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant of all, subject to all. Perfectly free, subject to none, dutiful servant, subject to all. Live like no one else. Live into the promise of Jesus Christ for you and for our lives and for our church and for our communities. Live like no one else so that we can indeed serve our communities and live like no one else. Luther's point is simple. As a baptized child of God, you have been made free. Through Christ's death, resurrection, ascension, baptism in His name has made each and every one of you free. You were freed from all of those things that would enslave you in your life. Your sin or brokenness, your struggles, your pains. You are free from the demands that the world places on you. The boundaries that our world sets up between us. You are free. You are free to look beyond what is popular or status-oriented. You are free to associate even with those whom others say you should not. You are free to live like no one else. What Luther is getting at is that God's vision of life is not the world's vision of life. What Luther is getting at is what is exemplified in our countercultural discipleship is exemplified in the story that we hear today of the widow's mite. Notice that Jesus does not shame the people who gave out of their abundance. That's a beautiful thing. That's an awesome thing. But what he says is, pay though attention to the widow who trusted without the security of abundance. Now, why did she give? I don't know. I like to believe she gave because she felt it was a way that she could offer what she had and that that was enough. That was good enough. That was beautiful. And if she did it out of a love for God, I hope and trust that's what it is. But she did it, I believe, because she was free to. She was freed by a love of God to be and risk it all. Luther says, you are perfectly free to serve God and others. That is countercultural. It is not you are perfectly free, now only worry about yourself and go get yours. That is not the way of Jesus. Jesus, His way is about a humble cross, an empty, unadorned tomb, and working with an assembly of average, overworked, overstressed, debt-ridden, frustrated, scared, addicted, fearful, and maddeningly stubborn disciples like you and me. It really says something about Jesus that He doesn't seek to work with and through simply the best and the brightest. Of course, He gets many of those, but mostly He has to use people like me. Someone who was so smart and savvy that he bought his last car at 0% interest without figuring out beforehand that it was that low of interest because the car cost so dadgum much. someone who makes mistakes as a husband, as a father, as a pastor, and someone who is not always brilliant, even though I've finished Financial Peace University with my financial decisions. I am a flawed, broken disciple of Jesus Christ, who he chooses to use anyway. And what I hear Luther saying and what I see Jesus portraying in our gospel lesson today is that despite my lack of means, I am still free. I am free to see myself as someone special to God and someone special in the world. Friends, that is my baptismal promise. That is my baptismal identity. And friends, that is yours too. That is God's gift to you. We have a freedom not to lord over others, but the freedom to know and to trust who is Lord over. The Lord who is over all of our sin, over all of our struggles, all of our hurts, our pains, our mistakes, and all the things that would seek to make a claim on us in this world and shackle us to it, whether it's status or money or prestige or pride. It is now a gift to you and I that we have the freedom to follow Jesus. Follow him into seeing the blessing that is you and the blessing that you can be to those around you, no matter your means. To see whom God has called you to serve and to serve with. It is the freedom to trust that the Lord who is over all things will bring you healing and wisdom and comfort and peace. It is the freedom to trust that the Lord who is over all things can bring reconciliation to an often divided country, that can bring hope to us in the midst of our uncertainty, that can bring meaning and promise when we are unsure in our lives. It is the freedom to trust that the Lord over all things values and knows you. You. Just as you are, and believes in you, and will work in you and through you to offer this world and others all the blessing that you can bring. It is the freedom to dare to live like no one else, so that you might live like no one else. You know, Dave Ramsey says that it's not good for us to live beyond our means. And in the context of financial decisions, he is right, I believe. Living beyond our means financially can lead to unhealthy choices and a less than full life, to be sure. Still, I wonder that if living beyond our means, in the religious sense, is exactly what we're called to do as Christians. All who claim Christ as Lord have been divinely inspired and divinely empowered to live beyond. Live beyond our talents and our foibles and our sin and our shames. We can live beyond our means because we have been empowered by the God, the Creator of all. We can dare to live like no one else. On this Stewardship Sunday, know that in faith you can trust that God will take all that you have and all that you offer, time, talent, treasure, and God will bless it for the work of the kingdom. Now, you don't have to. You don't have to offer anything. We will love you and welcome you into the community of faith. We will do your funeral. We will baptize you. We will allow you to be a part of a Bible study and come to every social event we ever do. You will never be denied if you never give a financial dime or a time of energy or effort to this community of faith. You don't have to do it because you are free. But if you choose in your freedom to offer all that you are, to offer yourself to God, Friends, what could be more freeing, more life-giving, than to offer yourselves in worship, to sing and to pray and to study and to serve and to share and to impact this community and this world in the name of Jesus? Live like no one else, so that you might live like no one else. Live beyond your means in the promise of Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.